This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Jen Gordon with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Today we're talking with Bill Conger, curator of collections and exhibitions at the Peoria Riverfront Museum. He's here to tell us more about their current exhibit, Mythic Creatures, happening now through September 30th. Bill, welcome back to Out and About.
Thank you, Jen. Great to be here. Nathan, hello.
So we're so excited to talk about this exhibit. It's very, very colorful. It's very informational. Tell us, why did the museum want to bring in this particular exhibit?
Sure. Most exhibitions that are successful and proven successful have some kind of, they're tapping into a trend or a vein in culture that is really kind of excitable, and this one is. And the beauty of this exhibition and why it makes sense for us is that it connects with adults and children alike for the summer when adults and children are together and looking for things to do. So in terms of a learning experience educationally, it has something to offer both. That is our perfect storm in the museum business. So
the exhibit revolves around these, you know, fantastical creatures like dragons and unicorns and mermaids. But you're using the exhibit as an opportunity to look at and explore and explain some of the real life animals and creatures who may be at the root of these myths.
Correct. We have in the exhibition, there are full scale replicas of both, if you will, the imagined scale of mm-hmm. what those creatures would be and the real scale of some of the creatures that inspired them. Remember, explorers and pioneers that would come through uncharted territories, these really were monsters to them. They were not encountered prior to that point by those people. So we kind of talk about mythical creatures as if they really don't exist, but they really did exist. That's the interesting part of this. So where it grabbed the imagination is in its retelling. So mm-hmm. when these people would retell their experiences with these monsters, often they would obviously take flight of imagination and often parts of components of different animals would get kind of interjected into the beast. And many of those creatures come from animals that we would know very well today.
That was one of the things that I found fascinating walking through the exhibit is I did get the sense of how I would be being informed about a fantastical creature 1,000 years ago. So you have some of these wonderful maps that are genuine articles that were created
right.
based upon cartographers and explorers and their experiences, and those are being put out to the public as being, this is authentic, this is, and you have journals and you have natural history books. So at the time, this was really verified information that was going out into the world.
That is exactly right. And the exhibition does an amazing job of taking that information, kind of posturing it next to the resulting piece of imagination that takes the form of an animal and does a great job of kind of quantifying how, like, the leaps between those places. So how does a dragon that maybe lives in the sea come about? We actually have toys and movable pieces of art that children can explore, and they learn themselves. They can see it themselves, how an explorer, how somebody for the first time might see these effects as being something other than what they are, and the imagination takes over, which is the really cool part of the show.
I mean, obviously, these creatures persist in popular imagination for centuries and are still with us now. What do you think it is about a dragon or a mermaid that's so powerful as a concept that they persist even though we now know that scientifically that such things don't exist?
Sure. It's a great question. There are funny anecdotes to that. We have examples of how those ideas were exploited through people like P.T. Barnum. We have objects that reflect that kind of approach. But then what I think you're going is, why do they persist when we kind of think we've disproven this? So Bigfoot really
right.
has not been disproven, mm-hmm. but we, you know, it's still a legend. It's still a very alive lore. The Loch Ness Monster, still something that is contemporarily talked about. That is a very good question. I think that we have a need. There is a human need to kind of understand the outside, the unattainable, and still for some of us, monsters, animalia still encompass that. Mm-hmm. Animals are still part of what that unknown is. I think it has diminished. I think we have other ways of thinking about the unknown today, but I think it's more human than it is visual or perceptual.
One of the components of the exhibit that I really enjoyed, at the very end, you have a panel where it goes through and tells the stories of just individuals, current day individuals, and what mythical creatures mean to them. And there's a gal who has a tattoo of a phoenix on her back that she got for her 30th birthday, and it was very symbolic. And there's all of these other stories. How does that play into the lasting power of these maybe symbols that we see yes. through mythology?
I do think that the growth of these myths do probably contain some actual self-involvement. So if I were to describe to you what I saw, I might interject something about myself or something that I particularly would want to see. I think there is an identification that happens to the power of the animal, or the mystique of the animal. It becomes very interesting and entrancing to kind of put yourself in there. We all kind of want to be mysterious. And I think that's a really fantastic realization for somebody to maybe discover something inward about or outward about themselves to connect to these things. This show has a lot of that. So that's absolutely right.
You had said earlier that this is an exhibit that can appeal to both adults and to younger patrons. And obviously we're in that time of the year of summer vacation. And does the museum make an attempt during these summer months to focus on having a featured exhibit that has a lot of appeal for kids who have more spare time on their hands in July and August?
Absolutely. We always try to appeal to adults and children alike, but it does make sense that when we have the captive audience of these free children with a lot of time on their hands, that we definitely consider their interests probably a little more than we would any other time of the year. So summer is really our time to get families connected to the museum directly. So we look for shows like this, definitely.
Now, there's also going to be a tie-in with your permanent collection coming up here in the next week or so. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, we're proud to, in addition to dragons, unicorns, and mermaids, mythic creatures, we are going to produce kind of a little compatriot exhibition. At the end of Mythic Creatures, we will have some of the Peoria Riverfront Museum's collection of mythical concepts and animals. And we have an amazing collection of 15,000 objects that we can kind of comb through. And we're going to make a little creature feature, if you will, of museum collection items. So we're very excited about that. Look for that in another week or so.
And coming up in about 2 weeks, you've got a special event at the museum, Geek Fest. Can you sort of give us the lowdown on that?
Geek Fest. Mythic Creatures is the perfect time, and we'll have amazing things all day long. There is an admission, a charge for that. Consult the website. But if you are geeking out on something, this is your place to come. We will have movies that reflect it. We'll have Star Wars trivia, lots of gamer-related activity as well. It's going to be an amazing day. Our programming staff is phenomenal.
That's Bill Conger talking about mythic creatures, dragons, unicorns, and mermaids. The exhibit is now on display at the Peoria Riverfront Museum. It continues through September 30th. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me back.
And the Illinois Art League membership show is on display now through July 28th at the Time Gallery at 201 Clock Tower Drive in East Peoria. The show features works from over 50 members. The gallery is open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 9 a.m. to noon.
And the Village of Metamora has free outdoor concerts every Friday night from 7:30 to 9:30. Tonight's concert features the Aristocrats. Next week, it's the Metamora Community Band. Those continue through the end of August at the Bandstand in Metamora Square.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Sierra Doss. You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio on our website, peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin. This is Out and About.